Well, we're going to get the Bible open. It stands at the center of what we do as a church family. It's God's Word. So we're going to be starting Matthew's Gospel today. Now, I'm well aware that Matthew chapter 1 is a very long list of names, but we are going to read it. Matthew chapter 1. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air. One of our stewards is ready to bring you one. There's one over there, if possible. Just behind you. Is that all right? Thanks, Glenn. Anyone in the balcony need a Bible? Andy's there. Great. Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that on page 965. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses. And yes, we are going to preach this list of names. it's the Word of God. So let's have a look at it together. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Aminadab. Aminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from exile to the Christ. This is God's word to us today. Great, please sit yourselves down, and please open Matthew's Gospel again, Matthew chapter 1. Be good to have that in front of you, and then we'll pray with the scriptures open in front of us. Father, we live in a time and always really where nothing lasts. But we thank you that as we've just sung, what we have in front of us, your word, the Bible, is something that does last. It has lasted for generations. Generations have come, generations have gone, but your word stays the same. And we thank you, Lord, that it's living. We thank you that it's for our good. And we would simply ask, Father, that you'd take the words on this page this morning and you'd cause them to live for us. Father, please would they do good things in us today. Please would they draw us to Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. My children, as they've grown up, have many of them have loved to do dot-to-dot pictures. You ever seen those? I presume most people know what a dot-to-dot picture is. When you open the book of a dot-to-dot kind of coloring book or whatever it is, drawing book, actually all you see is just a big page of dots. And you're looking at this thing thinking, what is this? It's just dots and they got little numbers by them and you're thinking, what does this become? But actually here's the wonderful thing about dot to dots that I've discovered with my kids, that as you join the dots together, what emerges is a beautiful picture. Now this morning, I'm aware that as we read something like Matthew chapter 1 together, I mean, apart from thinking, what on earth is Nathan going to say about this list of names? To many of us, it may just look like dots on a page. Here they are, they're dots on history, people's lives. You know, look at the list of names, Abraham and there's Jacob. And what do they look like? They might look to us like dots on history. People come and people go and they live and they die and they have a story to tell, but it's just dots on the page of history. But what happens this morning as we come to this chapter is that Matthew takes those dots in history and he joins them together. And what emerges as he joins the dots of these people's lives is a glorious picture for us. And actually what emerges from these dots, these lives, as Matthew joins them together, is a glorious piece of good news. And what is that good news? Well, it's what we call gospel. It's a word that perhaps we may be heard in lots of contexts. We've used it lots in church. But a gospel is glorious, world-changing, life-transforming good news. And as Matthew joins these dots of these people's lives, out pops a piece of good news. And I want to put it like this for you this morning. Here it is. Jesus is the man who stands at the center of God's plan. That's what I want us to see this morning as Matthew goes through this long family tree, this long history, this kind of moment of joining the dots of people's lives. It's a plan. Just look at verse 1 with me, will you? This is how Matthew opens his gospel, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Who's this gospel all about? What is it all about? It is about Jesus. The son of David, the son of Abraham, the genealogy of Jesus, the genesis of Jesus, it's all about him. And this plan is a plan that weaves its way back through history. It's a plan that goes all the way back to the beginning, life after life, time after time is woven together to release this great plan of Jesus. It is God's plan to give this world in which you and I live today what we so badly need. And all I want to do this morning for a few moments is to take you through this family tree. And I want us to spend some time doing this and to look at this family tree. And I want us to see together, first of all, why Jesus is the one at the center of the plan. Why is he the one that stands at the center of this great plan of God? And then I want to unpack this plan of God a little bit. What is it that he thinks we need so badly that he brings this great plan together? And so here's the first thing I want to show you about the plan. Jesus is the much needed blessing bringer. I won't have to work very hard this morning to convince you that we live in a broken world. I know there's good things and there's lots of things that we can rejoice about, but actually life is hard, isn't it? Life is broken. Maybe you come to church this morning and you're feeling that in a very real way. Life is hard. Work is hard. We may have good days at work, but there's plenty of bad days, isn't there? Where work doesn't go the way you want it to. There are relationships that are strained. Even the closest of relationships, even the people we love most, there's still friction sometimes, isn't there? Life is hard. Our bodies are wearing out. We won't have to tell some of you that this morning. Our bodies ache. Our bodies groan as we get older. They're just not doing what we want to do. We don't have the energy we used to have. Life is a bit broken. People do wicked things. Grand scale wicked things, terrorism, wars, rumors of wars. But then there's the stuff that goes on behind closed doors, the wickedness that people do and no one really sees. Any brokenness out there, sadly, is mirrored in here as well, isn't it? If we're honest, if we're going to say life is broken, well, it starts in here. My anger, my thoughts, my words, my deeds. I don't have to work hard this morning, I'm pretty sure of that, to convince you that life is broken. Life is messy. But into this mess and such brokenness, Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is the one who will bring blessing. He is the one to bless into the mess, if you can use that phrase. Bless into the mess. That's what Jesus has come to do. Just look with me at verse 2. This is where the family tree begins. He picks it up at a man named Abraham. Abraham, the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Abraham. Abraham, if we had time to go back and look at the story in the Bible, is a man who knew what it was to live in a broken world. He's a man who lived at a time shortly after humanity, Adam and Eve, the first human beings, had turned their back on God. They'd walked away from God. They'd chosen to disobey God. Adam and Eve lived under a time of blessing. They lived with God providing for them. They lived in relationship with God. But Abraham lived at a time where he was experiencing not the blessing of God, but the curse of God. The root of such mess in our world is actually our broken relationship with God this way. If we had time to go back all the way to the beginning of the book of Genesis, we'd see that our world is broken, our world is cursed because we broke the relationship with God this way. We feel it this way. We feel it in our bodies. We feel it in our relationships. We feel it in our work because there's a breakdown this way. Rather than living under the blessing of God, which we were made to do, our world now lives under the curse of God. But God, in his kindness, met this man, Abraham. Verse 2 in this family tree, it's just a name on a page, a dot on a page. But he met this man, and he said to him, of all the people, of all the nations, he chose this one man, and he said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to be in a friendship with you. I will bless you. That's what he said. And to be blessed by God in the book of Genesis means to be restored to relationship with God this way, vertically. Abraham was the one who then had restored relationship with God, forgiven by God, loved by God. And he said, I will bless you. And Abraham, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn you into such a big family that through you, through this family that is now in a right relationship with me, I'm going to bring blessing to the world, to the nations. Now, what was that a promise of? It's a promise that just like Abraham, the nations, the world could now enjoy a blessed relationship with God, a fixed relationship with God. And it wasn't just for one family. It wasn't just for Abraham and his descendants who would enjoy blessing in living under the curse. But actually, it was for the nations. And even this family tree, and maybe we'll look at this next week with the kids in the all age, but even in this family tree, you get a hint that Jesus, that the good news of the nation, for the nations, is in this tree. Look, you've got people from all over the place. If we went through these list of dots, God is bringing people into this blessing relationship from all over the place, from all types of people, all types of backgrounds. You know, if you chat to people on the street, they kind of think church is for a certain type of person. But actually, this family tree says no. Everybody lives under the curse, and Jesus, the blessing bringer, is the one to bring people into relationship with God. Jesus is the much needed blessing bringer. Our world is broken because it's out of relationship with God. We live under curse. But Jesus is the one who came to bring blessing. And as the gospel goes on, as we read Matthew together, here's what we're going to discover about Jesus. He's the one who walked this life, this broken, messy life. And he took our curse at the cross so that people like us could be brought into the blessing of relationship, restored relationship with God. What do we need in our mess? We need Jesus. We need the blessing bringer. We need the one in Abraham's family line who was going to come and who was going to bring blessing to the nations. Jesus is the much needed blessing bringer. But secondly, this family tree shows us that Jesus is the much needed royal ruler. I was in London the other day and I was watching I wasn't just standing watching this, but I happened to see it when I was going along. But there was a tourist group. And there was somebody, the leader of the group had a yellow umbrella. And they were kind of walking along. And this group was kind of, above all the crowds, was just following this yellow umbrella. They were just kind of trucking along and going. Now, actually, it made me realize something. Without that yellow umbrella, without this leader leading the way, this group probably would have been separated out. They would have got lost. They would have had no idea where they were going. And as I was watching this group, it made me think about something true for us. You see, for this family of blessing, for this family that has been restored into relationship with God through Jesus, what do they need? We need leadership, don't we? Without leadership, we're lost. We need the yellow umbrella to follow. We need someone to guide us. And into such a setting, God provides the family of blessing, Abraham's family, with a much needed leader. He sends Jesus, the one to guide us, the one to lead us. See, let me show you how this is true. Look at with me at verse 6. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Now, David, so this family tree, you still with me? The family tree bounces at Abraham, but then it bounces at David. David was a king. He was a royal ruler in this family tree. He was a royal ruler in the line of Abraham. He led and he ruled over Abraham's family. And as a royal ruler, he was good news for the family of blessing. He led them with fairness and integrity. He fought their enemies and he won. He led the people as they followed him. And in the Old Testament, his royal rule is likened to that of a shepherd who cares for his sheep, who fights away the wolves and the lions and the bears and feeds his sheep and leads them to the place where they can find water and food. David had great authority as a king, just a dot on the page, but a really powerful king, a worldwide king. David was a man who God made big promises to, a king, a royal ruler of Abraham's family. But God said to David, David, one of your children, one of your descendants is going to sit on the throne forever. One of your descendants will lead my people, not just for a short period of time, but forever. And as Matthew takes his pen and he joins the dots from Abraham to David, the royal son in the family of blessing, and from David down to the Lord Jesus, he wants us to see that Jesus, the son of David, is the much needed royal ruler that the people who have been restored to a blessed relationship need. It is Jesus, the Christ, who would crush our greatest enemy. It is Jesus who came into this world that John tells us to destroy the work of the devil. Jesus is our hero, royal ruling king who crushes our great enemies as he goes to the cross. But Jesus is also the one who holds the yellow umbrella for us. He's the one we listen to. He's the one we follow. He's the one who leads us. And that's what he does for the family of God. It is his authority. It is his leadership that we need. The Bible tells us that he will one day rule universally. Before this great royal ruler, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's God. And this family tree shows us that Jesus is the ruler we need. It leads us to him. He is the one we're to follow. He is the one that we're to submit to. Do you follow him? Is that what you do? Is this the one that you look at in history and you say, yeah, this is the leader that we've been provided with? So you see, Jesus, this family tree, you still with me? Jesus in this family tree, he's the one who brings blessing because he's promised in the line of Abraham. He's the royal ruler because he comes in the line of David. But actually, I also want to show you that Jesus is the exile ender, the much needed exile ender. Where I grew up, I used to go to a youth group. Now, if you did something bad in this youth group, you used to get a ban. Now, I won't tell you if I actually got a ban or not, but in this youth group, you used to get a ban, and it used to last, you know, however many weeks, so you could either have a two-week ban, or a three-week ban, or maybe a four-week ban, or whatever it would be, but you'd end up being exiled from this youth group, and then you'd sit there on a Friday night, and you'd feel right grumpy, because actually what you wanted to be was back there, but you were gone. But then the Friday arrived, when the exile was over. And you could be restored to the youth group. You could go back. Now, in a similar way, I want you to understand that humanity today, the world we live in, finds itself in a time of exile, banished from God. away from home. But Jesus, this family tree shows us that Jesus stands as the one at the center of God's plan to end that exile from God. See, just look at verse 11 and 12. So we've got Abraham, we've got David, but then it draws attention to something else. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah, the father of Shealtiel. Right in the middle, our attention is being drawn to this time of history called exile. You see, this family of blessing, the Abraham's family, back in relationship with God, has a royal ruler to lead them and guide them. But this family kept turning its back on God, disobedience after disobedience. And so what does God do? In their sin, he sends them away. He banishes them. They're in exile. And as they're sent away, in the middle of this time, here's the wonderful thing. Even though they'd done this, God sent them messages. He sent them his word, and he promised them that better was to come. He said, yes, you're in exile, but you will return. You will be restored, and better is yet to come. Their sin meant they were sent away. But God promised them something good. Time away from God would be replaced with time back with God, restored to God. In exile, there was hope, something better to look forward to. All was not lost. And you see, at this moment in history, in this family tree, look at verse 12, that word came true. Verse 12, after the exile, there was an after. The group of people did come back. They were restored to their relationship with God. But as Matthew joins the dots, here's what I want you to understand, okay? As Matthew joins the dots, what emerges is a beautiful picture. He's not just talking about that exile. Jesus is the one who comes into this family of blessing as the royal ruler who will end exile. He will end, first of all, our personal exile to God. Our sin, the way we've chosen to treat God who made us, in effect means we are exiled from God. We are at a distance from him. We are banned. Our sin keeps us away. But Jesus, in this family line, why does it draw attention to exile? Because Jesus is the one who came to end our exile from God. At the cross, Jesus allowed himself to be banished from God so that we might be brought near. My God, why have you forsaken me? What does that little phrase capture on the cross? That Jesus had been exiled on our behalf so that we could be brought back, that we could be restored. But can I say to you that this is more for the family of God? This is more than just personal exile that is ended. Jesus is the much needed exile ender who brings hope to the family of God that better is yet to come. You see, as the family of God today, those who are blessed by Jesus, those who are ruled over by Jesus, and that is what we are, church. We're blessed by Jesus. We're brought into relationship with God. We are those who are now led by Jesus through his word. But what's the good news for us from this family tree? That the better is yet to come. God will end our exile. The Lord Jesus is the one who will bring us near to God, where the curse will be gone. Jesus will one day return. And he will end our exile, end our being away from God, and bring us back to him. In Bible speak, that's the new heavens and the new earth. In Jesus is the much needed exile ender. I mean, it's great to be restored to relationship with God, but we have to be real that life is still messy and broken and still hurts. But that won't last forever. And that's what this family tree hints at. Who is Jesus? Who is this man that stands at the center of God's plan? He's the blessing bringer, the one promised to Abraham to restore us to relationship with God. He's the royal ruler. While we're wandering around as this family of God, he's the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who protects us. He has all authority. But he's also the one who will end our exile, and he will bring us near to God. And friends, that is God's plan. That is God's plan, of which Jesus stands at the very center. If I could put it like this as we come to a close this morning, this is what we're going to see across Matthew's gospel. Okay, I'm quite excited about getting stuck into this together. But Jesus is God's royal son who stands at the center of God's royal plan to bring people into the blessings of God's royal family. And that's what this family tree is trying to show you. Jesus is God's royal son, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's connected to all these big promises in the Bible. And he stands at the center of God's plan to bring blessing to the nations, to bring people into this relationship, restored relationship with God. And he will bring us into this royal family. And one day he will end exile. That's glorious good news, isn't it? It's just a list of names. But if you join the dots, what emerges is a beautiful picture. And as we finish this morning, can I just simply suggest two ways that you might want to respond to this family tree? And I know this might seem weird, but as you read this list of names, apart from thinking, you know, wow, these are just really complicated names to say, what should be your reaction? You should run to the Son. You should run to the Lord Jesus. He is the one in whom we find blessing. He is the one in whom we find restored relationship with God, this relationship that's broken down. And rather than living under the curse of God, we become a people who now live under the blessing of God. Run to the Son, because he's the one who's going to lead you. He's the one who's going to protect you. Jesus as the royal ruler is great news for us as the family of God, but it is terrible news for his enemies. So run to the Son. You know, what's this week hold for you? Where are you going to go for your help? Run to the Son, the royal ruler, the one that God has given us to lead us. And run to the Son when life is messy, when life is broken, when you feel, oh, I just want everything to stop. Where are you going to run? Run to the Son, because he is the exile ender. And the second way I'd suggest that you respond to this family tree is to trust the plan. Just look at verse 17. It's an odd detail. It says there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile, and 14 from the exile to Christ. Now, you're thinking, why is all that there? I mean, I have to say, people go to town on this and kind of write books and books about this 14 generations thing. Can I tell you what I simply think it means? That God's plan is perfectly ordered. And actually, into the mess, God sent Jesus to bless. But actually, here's the other thing I want you to trust this morning. That actually, out of mess, God can bless. So if you look at this family tree, it is full of messy people. It is full of messy lives. And there were plenty of moments in this family tree where you'd think, man, is God really up to something? And the answer is yes. And it may look and feel to you this morning that I stand here and I talk about Jesus as the, you know, the blessing bringer and the, you know, the one who rules you and the one who's going to end exile, and it just doesn't feel like it. But actually, this family tree encourages you that even out of mess, even out of the chaos of our world, God can bring about his great plan. So run to the Son and trust the plan, because this is what God's up to in our world. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you that through the pages of history, through the lives of these men and women that are mentioned in this family tree, you are weaving together your great plan, that through Jesus, your royal Son, you will bring men and women like us into restored relationship with you, and that you will one day bring us near to you forever in the new heavens and the new earth. We thank you for Jesus. Father, please would we run to him and keep running to him. Please would we run to him as the Son who saves. Would we run to him as the Son who leads us. Father, please would we continually trust your plan, that even in the mess of our world, this is the plan you're working out. And Father, please, Please may we keep going to Jesus and stop seeking help elsewhere. And we ask it in his name. Amen.